backwards. And finally, they're getting to about the third symphony, and continuing this way, the graveyard caretaker came over and said, "You do realize that Beethoven's decomposing." Sorry. Brady, I'm sorry on that one. But we're going to talk about change today. We change. We should change. And if we go to the next slide, please. Or zero in on it. There we go. And the next one. We're kind of the glacier aspect here, but the beauty from a cocoon, you know, get out of that stuffy cocoon is what my goal is for you today, to make some changes in your life. You get that next, there you go. And then if you really want to be considered beautiful, I think this is some steps that need to be taken. If we go to the next one, please. I learned Prezi finally. How about that? Who knows Prezi? Oh, yeah, you guys are awesome. It's my first one, so be gentle. But when I think of a iceberg kind of thing, I think of some stability and strength. And I'll tell you, there's a couple things I want to address here that to be beautiful, to be strong, I think there's a simple principle that helps develop that. And I think the real deal has depth. If we go to the next one, please. And then zero in on. I want to start off by, okay, this is going to block it. It'll probably do it all the way through, but I know they can't go full screen because it's going to go too wide. But, oh, you did already good. Give or get. My whole concept today is going to be on the whole idea that as you go through life, do you go through life to give or to get? Zero in, please. A lot of us pray this way. My name is Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I like the little one here. My family has been kidnapped by ninja. Please give money so I can take karate lessons. You know, but we go through life saying, give me. We'll stay here for a moment. I started thinking about Paul and Silas in Acts 16. They've just been beaten and thrown in prison and thrown into the center area. Shackles are on them. People are around. And it says what they started doing or what they were doing around midnight. And I will tell you, most likely, I would have been just like them at midnight. I would have been praying. I would have been praying, please take my pain away. Please help me sleep well. Please keep me safe. Please let me get out of here soon. Please be with my family. Please give me something else. Please give me. Please give me. Please give me. And to be honest with you, I don't think I'd have felt guilty about that prayer. But what would your prayer request be? Pretty similar, you think? Fair? It says that around midnight, Paul and Silas were praising God. And that their prayer more would have been, God, you're awesome. God, you're the provider. God, you are. And they just would go through in honoring God. And this really challenged me because as I go to prayer, am I always going to prayer? You know, think through your last 10 prayers. Hopefully you don't have to think back to do that very far. But think back through your last 10 prayers. What was the typical content? Thank you for this food. Blessed to our bodies. Help me sleep well. Help me pass this test. Give the teacher fleas. No, but yeah, I just, whatever, let's hit this next one, please. There's really basically four kinds of prayers we look at. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Adoration is just from adore, that when you adore someone, and it's a concept of I'm adoring God and I'm just saying how great he is. And I encourage you that to think about prayer with maybe the concept of sometime going to prayer just for the purpose of saying, God, you are awesome. God, you are my counselor. You are my best friend. God, I know you are all knowing. God, you have provided everything, and you've created everything, and you've hold everything together, and just God, you're amazing. And just and then even it doesn't have to be like quickly. It could just be thinking through each of the words of what God you are, and continue with it. There could be a time of prayer. We know that was confession, where we realize that we've disappointed God, we've sinned, and to go back and confess that sin to Him, acknowledge that sin, and ask for forgiveness. There could be a time of just thanking Him for things. I wonder to what extent, what is the percentage of we pray for something, and if we finally get it, how many times do we pray thanking Him? I think I'm sure I've shared it here before. You know, we've been around for 15 years, probably repeated something once or twice, but the whole study they've done with the letters to the North Pole. I don't know if I've said that one. Oh, there are studies, there are thousands of letters that go to the North Pole before Christmas. And very, 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 I have to be redundant, very few that go after Christmas saying thank you. I'm not going to get into that whole topic any deeper than that because of my age structures here, but I'll be careful, okay? But with God, with prayer, how many times have we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for something and finally it's even a favorable response that we were hoping for? And do we like tip our hat and say, oh, thanks, let's go on and start praying for something else? Or do we really thank Him? And then there is the aspect where God wants to know the desires of our heart, the supplication. An easy way to remember this, if we go to the next slide, please, is just the ACTS. I have a friend who would prefer to go with, I've been told this is PowerPoint on steroids. That really was. No, but this is taking off. I've been told from a friend that he prefers to have the confession before the adoration, so he calls it CATS. And if that's easier for you to remember, that's fine. But it's the whole idea of, you know, ACTS or CATS, and just are we at a point where we're not just going to prayer to get, but also going to give something to God? Next slide, please. Good. Going back to our whole emphasis again. Are you okay, guys? I don't mean to interrupt your rudeness. We're good? The morph to change, the beauty of it, the strength that comes from it. And let's go to this next one, please. When we go into the church, hit that first slide. My name is Chad, and you'd be bad, bad, bad. Give me the next one, please. I'm wondering to what extent we go to church with the idea of what we get. Think about your Sunday afternoon. Your parents say, how was church today? And you say, Brady was all right. The message was all right. What was it about? Sin. What else? God doesn't like it. Let me just, you know, what we tend to, or, you know, how often is it you start hearing a message and you're like, oh, I wish so-and-so was here because they need that message. Or we elbow a spouse. No, we don't. We would never. My ribs are sore, though. But how often do we look at it, and it's almost a concept of, the pastor, here's Brady, he's the actor. God is prompting him, and you're the critic. And you get to sit back and say, good church service. Or, nah, bad, bad, bad. Where really, it should be, I'm coming to church. Am I coming just to get, or am I coming to give something? Appreciate you guys coming early. They're here early. Preparing for this. We've got people who've been working, and not just today, but picking the songs that will match up with the message. the sound system people, making sure things are going well there and stuff. People, and I know that when I'm speaking about this, it's just a reminder for all of us that as we come to church, we're really the actor. The pastor's supposed to be just helping us, directing us, reminding us, challenging us, encouraging us into serving the Lord. And it really comes down to it, it's God who is the judge. And so it could be a situation where maybe your parents say, how did church go today? Or on a Saturday night, how did it go? And you're like, it went great. And like, well, what do you mean? What was the message? Well, I didn't catch the message because I was sitting on the hall because I needed to pray with someone. And I just prayed with them. Or there was a new kid here and I just talked to them and really listened to them, found out what school they go to and what their interests are. And we've exchanged emails or Facebook or whatever, but we're going to keep in touch. And man, church was awesome today because I really believe God wanted me to be there to talk to that person or to listen to that person. Church was awesome today. But typically we go a whole different concept. And I just encourage you that as you come to church, be praying about, God, I'm coming to hear your message. But is there somebody there today that you're placing me there for them? Now, realize there's a whole other aspect here. It can be, I went to church today. How was it? It was awesome. I have had a horrible week. You're not going to believe it. I hardly ever talk to this person. But they came over and sat next to me and said, you don't seem like you're doing well. How are things going? And I was able to talk with them, and they prayed with me. They encouraged me. They even gave me a verse to think about. I haven't even thought about the verse before. It was an awesome church service. What was the message about? I don't know, but they sure love God there. Now, I'm not saying one or the other. You can't listen to the message also. But do we ever critique, what did we do while we were here? Next one, please. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let's consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. People can get into the habit of stop coming to church. It is amazing. Bad habits are hard to drop and good habits are hard to start. That's just our sin nature, I guess you have to say. It's just the reality of it. To watch out for your friends, to watch out for yourself. If you miss a Saturday night, you miss a Sunday, then you find yourself missing another one, then it just becomes an easy cycle to get into. And to look around you and say, wait, I haven't seen this person for a couple weeks. To contact them and say, hey, come on back. I'll see you Saturday. I'll see you Sunday. To get them on, to spur them on toward love and good deeds. Go to the next one, please. I can only think of spurs. you just like San Antonio Spurs. There you go. That'll work. To dig a little bit, and I know some people don't like the whole concept with how they may treat a horse to keep that large animal moving or something, but the whole spurs. But I will have to tell you that I think in the church sometimes, or with our church friends who maybe haven't been there for a while, maybe we need to make it a little uncomfortable and say, you know, I you haven't been to church. I'd like to see you back here. Or, you know, your language is a little sharp. You're smarter than that. You can use different words. That joke's a little off color. We don't need to, and just challenge them. And yeah, maybe they get upset at you. Maybe it hurts a little. But we're spurring them on in love, good deeds, and encouraging. And I love that idea that coming together is not just for me to come here and say, boy, I hope church is fun today. Brady, what are we going to do? You know, lead us on, and if I have a good time, yay for Brady. If I don't, bad. But how often do we do that? You know, if there's an aspect you would like changed around here and you have some good reason for it, make some suggestions to Brady. Talk to him about it. Get some friends together. If you think there's other things to be done, but take ownership and be involved and have a purpose for coming. Next one, please. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Psalm 122:1. And it's, David is writing that. And just the whole concept of it, just a thumbs up. You know, we're going to church. I look forward to going to church. Because one way or another, something special is going to happen. I'm going to make sure of it. Next one, please. Again, with the changes we're making in our lives to think, to give and not just to get. And there is an aspect where we're going places, we're going to get something. But we should be focusing also on giving. We'll take it to our homes. The next one. Let's start off with our little girl here. Next slide. I am Tiffany. It's all about me. You know, just those little things. If you think you're getting one of my toys, you got another think coming. Another thing coming. If you think you're getting one of my toys. And I just wonder at home, to what extent, and I'm really... I don't mean to exclude the adults for this part. But as kids, as youth, as young adults, those who are living at home still and not paying the mortgage, are you home at home just to get? Or is there an element of giving? To what extent do your parents owe you? And to what extent do you owe your parents? I'm embarrassed to say in America right now, you're in a culture that a generation that blames parents for everything that's bad and don't give them credit for anything good. And it's wrong. And you can help change that culture by helping people realize and speak positively. I have never referred to my mom as that old lady. Do anybody, any of your friends ever refer to my old lady, talking about their mom? Proof of that, I still have my front teeth. Yeah, my dad would, no, that's a whole other topic. But, you know, the way you refer to your parents, respect for your parents, that when you come home, I do think it's a parent's responsibility to ask how your day went. You may not like that. But then to talk to them on how your day went, and then if I can go a step further, did you ever think about asking how their day went? Have you ever stopped to think about how many of you, both mom and dad, work outside the home? Is it half-ish? Okay. How many have stay-at-home moms? Okay. Ever get a situation when you get home from school that you've noticed mom is stressed? And ever think about saying, mom, I can start by setting the table and stuff. Why don't you just go relax? I can start this. After dinner, you guys just go relax or something. I can clear the table. Do you ever think about giving, or is it just what's for dinner? I was at a high school open house, a graduate, and it was funny because the girl's now a nurse, and my wife hired her to work with her, so it's a cool story to watch with us, but the girl comes over, and she goes, go ahead and tell Doc. Say it. Tell Doc. And she goes, okay, Doc, I need to thank you. I haven't thanked you for 4 years on this, but as a freshman, you took me to Mexico. And before I went to the Mexico missions trip, I would complain about everything. My mom couldn't make toast right. She'd make the toast, and I'd complain which way it was cut, how much butter was on it, how crispy or how soft the toast was. I'd complain about everything. And I will tell you, since going on the missions trip and having beans, rice, and Jesus Christ every day, I haven't complained all through high school. And I looked at the mom, she goes, no, no, total change. Have you ever thought about yourself that way? How often do you complain about a meal? And maybe it's something that we should be more grateful. Maybe something we could help with. When I come home, and I will tell you, you know, from a husband's standpoint, I my trip getting home is a quarter mile. I've got to get focused quickly, but my first thought coming home, what I want it to be, is to hear Angela out. How has her day been? How are things going? Where let her vent. It needs to be a situation where, am I coming home just, you know, I am man, I am home, you know, just, or is it a situation where, you know, as I'm coming home, the first thing should be giving. And in those situations, you'll find that you get a lot also. As you give, you do receive. Let's go to the next one, please. I stayed there for a while, but you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love, Galatians 5:13. And the concept of serving and reaching out and helping. And I will tell you that I can't speak for all of your homes. I've told my children growing up, I said, you know, if you ever vacuum, mom will be in a good mood. If you just vacuum. When she hears the vacuum cleaner, it's like music to her ears. It's a love language, you know, and just to help out with something like that, you know, and you're all here getting to the age where you can start learning how to do laundry. You know, make your bed every day. Those are things that speak loudly. That's a way of giving, not just getting at home. You're receiving a lot at home. And we're very blessed. And I'll tell you what. I prayed several times thanking God for a house and heat this last week. It was cold. Did you ever stop to think about what you have and how blessed we are? Let's go to the next one, please. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. We think of this verse and we're like, oh yeah, that, how about at home with your siblings? Oh no, wait a second. That's not fair. We've had, for my sister and I growing up, we had this one policy because, let's just say she was selfish. We'll just leave it at that part, okay? We don't have to say the whole story right now, but if we were to split a candy bar, you know what the policy was? You guys had this one same probably too. One gets to break it, the other gets first choice. No, you guys don't do that? You just automatically do it. It's Hershey, so you can count the squares and you're all fine. Yeah, okay. If we ever had to split something, my sister's 4 years younger, I'd always say, oh, you can break it in half. Really? Mm-hmm, yeah. Give me the big half. You know? I deserve it. I'm older. I'm bigger, right? But, you know, and how often do we... Would we ever stop to think, you know what, this is a dessert you enjoy a lot more than I do? You take which side you want. We'll think about it outside the home, but inside the home, are we striving to think of good for others? Let's go to the next one, please. Yeah, let's continue. Home sweet home. I want to, and we'll go right, let's go past this part and go right into the school. Let's go to my little quote there for, you know, my name is Sam and here I am, like a spotlight. Now, I want to be careful here because there are different personalities, and that's all good, all right? But there are some people who, as they walk into a room, it's like, here I am, lucky you. Where really I think our mindset should be more so of a, oh, there you are. Oh, you're here. Oh, I'm so thankful you're here. And go and emphasis on them, not on spotlight on me. Next slide, please. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as in fact you are doing. And I tell you, I do experience this a lot here. When I come in, Randy, you know, it's like, it's pathetic for me to admit, but I enjoy it. It is nice to feel, you know, be welcomed. And, you know, to really emphasize that, as you go to school, I don't know if you're driven to school, if you take a bus to school or whatever, but even to be praying ahead of time on who you could encourage that day. Who is somebody that you've been watching of recent, and maybe they got a poor test score, maybe they've changed seats in band, maybe they didn't make a sport team they wanted, or they lost a game, or just some bad experience, or maybe you know something's going on at home with their parents, or just somebody's sick or whatever, and just to be thinking about them, praying about them, and first thing you see them is saying, oh, I was hoping I'd get to see you today. How's your mom doing? I was hoping you were here today. Do you want to study together in math? Is there something I can help you with? I just focus on them and make that the concept. We go to the phrase again, next one. You know, I tried the fade aspect here. I probably won't use this again. Prezi fade, how's that? Okay, it didn't go well. Here I am. I was just like, suspense, wait for it. Okay, but here I am, or there you are. And what is your whole, what's the message you want to give out? That other people are important, or that just you're important? And I want to, I want to be careful because I'll use a name. Person's not here, but it's a good thing, okay? Reagan could be a blast with this either way. Do we know that who that is? Am I okay? Does he have a little brother here? Does he? Okay. Reagan's a blast for this because Reagan will be like, hey, you know, but then he's immediately like looking at someone like, oh, so cool you're here. We had another girl here in the past, Nunu. You guys ever meet Nunu? Nunu was, she was one who was just the life of the party, but she must have done this very well because she invited more visitors than anybody I've ever known to the church. She always had someone else coming with her to church. And when you find out that once you like are interested in other people and you listen to other people, you're going to have an impact. And it ends up being one of a leadership. Let's go to the next, please. You can go one more back. I'm sorry. This is going to be my big picture again. Again, I just, this whole concept is of the morph, the change, and the change we're going through, and that from a caterpillar to a butterfly kind of thing, that to get out of, and I really believe when we just think about me, it becomes a stuffy cocoon. It's just about me. But once you get outside of yourself and start giving to others and reaching out to others, and the big challenge to me is like a Paul and Silas, I could have sat in that prison cell and truly been a prisoner, and I don't think they ever viewed themselves as prisoners. That they viewed it as like, wow, God, what do you have now? We're here. And so when the earthquake comes and the jailer comes through and wants to take his own life, they're like, we're still here. And the amazing part is, all the other prisoners stayed. They didn't book on out. If I would have been the one there, they probably would have left. Because what would have been keeping them there? I had just been thinking about myself and just praying for myself and not praising God. So when everything opened up, they're like, we don't want to leave. We want to hear some more. Who is this Jesus you're talking about? Man, you're in prison. You're in the worst spot. You've just been beaten, and we found out that was like illegal. Like you weren't supposed to be allowed to be beaten. And their mindset of just staying there, people wanted more, and they were able to impact, and even to the jailer's family, because when things go rough, we tend to become more selfish, and focus on ourselves. When things got rough for them, they said, I mean, the toughest thing they would say is, uh-oh, God, you got yourself in a spot now. What you going to do? We're excited to be part of it. And if you constantly have that perspective of, God, what are you doing? What do you have next? You are awesome. We want more of you. Then others will want what we have. But if I sit there complaining, and I know I've teased about this before, to be there, oh, I shouldn't be in jail, I shouldn't be like, you're not going to have somebody else when they go through difficulties saying, I've noticed your life and it's pathetic, horrible, and you complain better than anybody else I know. What is it that's different about you? Because I want a horrible, miserable life too. And you say, it's Jesus Christ. And you're like, really? So if I accept Jesus Christ, I can have a miserable, horrible, complaining life like you? Yes, you can. Oh, let me have him now. If you didn't catch, there's a little bit of sarcasm there, right? What these people wanted was like, wow, at a time that was your lowest, you're still praising God? Well, yeah, I'm praising God. No, you've just been beaten. But I was beaten for the Lord. But you're like in prison. But I'm meeting new people. I know, whatever it is. God, you're doing mighty things. So these other people that have difficulties are like, wow, I want that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for wanting to use us to make a difference in the world for you. What an awesome honor and responsibility. It is our desire to follow you every day in all the walks of our lives, be it at home, school, church, just out in the community, that we would truly spend time with you and follow you. Father, our goal is that in prayer we would ask what you're doing and see if we could come along with you, as opposed to telling you what we're doing and ask you just to come along and bless it. Father, we want your will to be done. Thank you for loving us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.